welcome you to church this morning. Cindy Lou, I'll start with you, if that's okay. Come right on up. It's an important thing. Should go first.
Geez, it got quiet in here. Good morning, everyone. I just want to let everyone know yesterday's event was quite a good event. It was very well attended. We don't have final numbers yet, but I do believe we did very, very well. So in behalf of Zion Church and those that really appreciate what everybody does, thank you to all, whether you help with books. The Apple Dumpling Gang did a phenomenal job. They made 200 apple dumplings. I understand they had a nice crew here doing that. The people in the kitchen, as always, do a phenomenal job. So it was a great team effort, and that's what we need. Get together and get it done. Thanks so much, and just a reminder, our next event will be on Good Friday, and that is our fish dinner. So again, we will be asking for some baked goods there. We also need help there. If you can help serve food, help clean up, help bus tables, whatever help you can give us, whether it be an hour, whether it be 2 hours, 3 hours, we would greatly appreciate that also. Thanks so much for sticking together and getting it done. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm going now.
Yeah. I just want to get them to raise their hands if they're adult members.
Yeah. I was counting. I think we're good.
But yeah, I did too, but I didn't.
Yep.
This morning, following worship, we are to have a congregational meeting, but we are required to have at least 40 adult members here. If you are an adult member, will you raise your hand so we can count you?
Keep them up, please.
Please keep your hands up.
I counted me already. I counted Myra. Who's downstairs? Brian Metzger. Oh, 36. 37. Brian Metzger's 38.
39.
Too short. Is anybody in the nursery?
We're one short.
Is anybody in the nursery today? Susie Cordes?
She's checking. We're one short of 40, that's why we're asking.
Oh, Kim. Did Kim just come up? No. You were up, okay.
Did anybody see a bat? Because if it... I got to tell you a story while they're checking over there. We had one church that had a bat problem for a while, and they couldn't figure out how to deal with it. I said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And they said, well, how are you going to do it? I said, well, after the service, I'm going to baptize and confirm them. They won't be back again. Did we have one in anybody in nursery? Okay, I'll let you make the announcement about 2 weeks.
Okay. Okay, with the fact that we do not Kath. Who's coming? Tammy's on her way. Okay. So when Tammy gets here, we will have exactly 40. So we will proceed with the meeting then. Thank you. Just a reminder, we have Family Promise in our building starting this evening. If you volunteered, of course, Family Promise, you know, is not shutting down due to the corona outbreak. So we just ask that you do be vigilant with washing your hands. And you know, we don't want any of our volunteers to get sick. We obviously don't want any of our children or guests to get sick as well. So if you've signed up, please report at your normal time. If you have any concerns, you can contact Beth or myself. We are still looking for some people to do some fellowship. So if you're interested in volunteering as a fellowship person, it's just basically sitting and kind of babysitting the church. We'd love to have you. You can see Beth or myself. We can let you know what days are available. And just a reminder that the Sunday school classrooms will be off limits for the next week because they are really those people's bedrooms. And as we wouldn't want strangers rooting through our things, I'm sure our guests would not appreciate people going through their things. Are there any other announcements? Yes. Okay, but we're still waiting for Tammy to come. So we're at 39 right now. So until she gets here, I don't think we can. That's a good suggestion. Nobody leave.
Part of what we do is to do the work of the church. So when Tammy arrives, we will interrupt the service, do the meeting, and then go back to the service. Is that okay with everyone? All right, you're very good.
Great compromise. Thank you, Pastor. That's why he got hired, right? Yes. Oh, Julie Fisher is here. We are officially at 40. So at the suggestion, this is the biggest welcome that Julie Fisher's ever felt coming to church, I'm sure. So at the suggestion, would Kathy like to come forward and we can do the meeting right now? Sharon, call Tammy and tell her she doesn't have to come.
Okay. All right. All right. Okay, now that we've established quorum, we're dealing with some rotting at the bottom of the doors, which have been covered with a steel plate and they're not securing. So last year, the property committee investigated replacing the sanctuary doors, the outer doors. And they went through looking at replacing the doors through Therma-Tru, and that would have been needed to be installed by a contractor. There was another company that was investigated that did not want to take on that project. And then Bout Studios out of Sawyersville that does specialize in church work and doors and windows, such as our sanctuary doors. The quote for the two center doors and the two side doors was $23,700. And Bout Studios did come to the property committee and meet with them, bringing samples of the doors, pieces of the samples of the doors, and talked about the construction of the doors. And they also suggested that the transom area above the doors would need to be addressed first and didn't think that we should replace with something they had but just restored. So the consistory received a recommendation to replace the doors with Bout Studios, and consistory voted to take this to the congregation to vote on a capital campaign. In the meantime, Barry, myself, and my husband met with Cumberland Glass about the transom, and we received that quote to restore the windows and cover them with a film, as Barry knows what that is, like a plexiglass. And that quote was $8,450. Their quotes are good for 90 days, and the Bout Studios was for 6 months, but would work with us knowing that we had to bring it to the congregation first. So what we, as a consistory, had voted was to start a capital campaign, or bring it to you to start a capital campaign to replace the doors and fix the transom. And that total would be $32,150. So at this time, we would like to get a motion to start the capital campaign.
Just for official business, call the meeting to order.
Okay.
So that was I'm going to put that as explanation of it. So call the meeting to order.
Okay, so we're calling this meeting to order. We've established quorum. So could I have a motion to start a capital campaign to raise funds for the replacement of the sanctuary doors and to fix the transom area? Yes. Barry. I couldn't quite. Correct. The price for the windows to be put into other doors would have been very costly. So that will not be used. There are samples, pictures of work that they have done that is available that we've had in the back of the church at times from Bout. Okay, so we're saying that we want to hold on to the doors that are already there and not get rid of them. Any other questions? So at this time, do I have someone that's willing to make the motion to start the campaign? Sai? Okay, Sai.
Sai.
And second? Ted? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion stands as carried. Thank you.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn. Dave Cock. Seconded. Cindy?
All right. At this time, I'd ask, are there, yes. Thank you. I remembered when I got up here and then all this happened and I was like, there are a lot of books left over from the sale yesterday and there are also free donuts downstairs with tongs so you don't have to touch them. So if you're concerned about that, but the books are free. And the books are not going back into the closet, okay? They need to go, okay? So don't feel like you're stocking up on toilet paper by grabbing four bags of books. Please take four bags of books if you like them. They might come in, no, I'm not even gonna go there. I'm not even gonna go there. But please join us downstairs following the service for some donuts and please take books with you. These ladies work very hard at bringing the books over and getting them organized. They don't want to put them back. So please come downstairs and take as many books as you like. Okay? Any other announcements that need to be highlighted? Then at this time, I would ask you to turn into the back of your bulletin and read the list of prayer concerns that are there. As with most churches, ours seems to never decrease but always increases. I'd ask that during the time of silence or during the preludes that you sincerely say a prayer for those people that are on your prayer list. Are there any additions to the prayer list this morning? Then let us take this moment in silence to prepare our hearts to worship God.
Good morning again. I'd ask you to now join me in the call to worship. Come, let us sing a new song to our God. Make a joyful noise to the rock of salvation. God is a great ruler above all other gods. The depths of the earth are in God's hands. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before God our Maker. And now please join me in unison prayer. God of all worlds, whose care for us also includes concern for neighbors who differ from us, and whose love embraces all of humanity without distinction, we reach out for the water of life that you offer. Fill us with your Spirit that we may live your truth, share the story of Jesus, and lead others into discipleship, that your realm may be realized among us. Amen.
Before we go any further, I'm going to ask you to remain in place rather than even getting out. Turn, wave, bow. It is our recognition of one another, not how much touching we do. So let's avoid the contact. And Nurse Jane will be talking to the children and the adults a little more about that. But the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. The fifth chapter of Romans begins with, "Therefore." It refers to Paul's previous explanation that we are justified by grace through faith in Christ. As a result, we have peace with God through reconciliation. The amazing truth is that Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Now the word. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, and that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, we will be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Here ends this morning's gospel reading.
Will the children remain with their families? And I'll send our acolyte around with the pretzels. You can go give them to the children. We package them individually in bags so that they won't be so much touching. Go right ahead.
Good morning. I'm Nurse Jane, and I came to talk to all of you a little bit about what's going on in our world. How many of you are afraid, raise your hand, of the coronavirus? Yeah. We all be careful, but I want to talk about some of the things that we all learned over the years about staying clean. Now, you raised your hand a couple of times today, but I want one more. How many of you here are over 20? Okay. How many of you people over 20 were told, don't pick your nose? Yeah, because it's dirty. We learned a lot of things like that. And the Bible teaches us some important things too. Do you know that Jesus washed the feet of his disciples? Do you know why he washed their feet and not their hands? He tells you. If you're clean and do what you're supposed to, the only part of you that gets dirty is your feet from walking in the dirt. Because people washed their hands all the time before they ate, before they greeted one another, because they knew that hands carried germs. And in fact, washing their hands became a symbol of how to get rid of evil in our lives. Wash your hands from sin as well as dirt. And when you wash your hands, you use soap and water. Now, Jesus had a lot to say about water too. And there's stuff he did, like get baptized and tell people to be clean. And then when he was on the cross, he said, I'm thirsty. Do you remember that? And what did that Roman soldier do? Anybody know? He took a sponge and put it on the end of a sword, and he dipped it in vinegar and gave it to Jesus to drink. Sounds nasty, doesn't it? Well, it wasn't. How many of you are really old Pennsylvania Dutchmen? Did you ever have schnitzel? Vinegar, water, and sugar. We were given it to drink when we did haying because it helped us breathe better and swallow better and do all kinds of things. And now, how many of you have been to the grocery store lately? You can't find toilet paper. You can't find hand soaps. You can't find anything. I'm going to give you a secret. One of the best cleaners you can get is vinegar and salt. And if you put some water with it and gargle, it kills the coronavirus in your throat 4 days before it reaches your lungs. Did you know that? When Pastor Fry was a little boy, you had to gargle with salt water and vinegar all winter long to stop a cold. So, now, the thing you might not know is that same stuff that you gargle with will also clean all your countertops, make your table safe from germs. Jesus is called the living water, and he can clean your life from all kinds of sin. So Jesus is like vinegar. Boy, I bet you didn't want me to say that. No, I like vinegar. I think it's a wonderful gift. And we can all do things to keep our lives clean by being washed in that special water that God gives us, by receiving the blood of the Lamb and by being open to the Spirit. So remember all of those different kinds of things. Pastor, pray for us.
I will, Jane. God, we thank you that you call us to be clean, to be washed in the living water, to use the simple things that prevent illness and strife. We thank you that you have given us doctors and medicine, but also that you have given us the old remedies. We thank you for Jesus' example of always washing your hands, being clean physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We praise you that you call us to be your children in everything we do. Make us clean. We ask it in his name. Amen. Thank you. Have you ever been really thirsty? Back in the old days, when we go on a long hike, you had to have a canteen. There was no bottled water. And if you didn't have a canteen and you got to the top of the Blue Mountain and you were deeply thirsty, the best you could hope for was to find a spring. And listen to this, you drank right out of the spring. How many of you knew Bobby and Ada Scheckler from Perryville? They were my aunt and uncle. They didn't have a well. They had a spring on the other side of the house. And I was visiting them one day as a young child, and my cousin Larry took me over to the spring. And in that big spring, there was a trout about this long, and a frog. And I said to him, how did that get in there? And Larry said, it's always been there. I said, what? You drink the water from that spring and that trout lives in there? You know why I was concerned, weren't you? Don't you? But the trout actually kept the spring clean. And if the trout could live in the water, then the water was safe to drink. We have a different worldview today. We look at everything differently. It was classic that Lehigh Valley Hospital and St. Luke's Hospital all had posts up about the use of vinegar and salt as a gargle and as a cleaning agent. Those of us who are old Dutchmen knew that all along. We were taught simple things. We were taught how to find solutions. And that's what Paul was doing when he wrote to this church in Rome. He was talking about how to keep life in its proper perspective by following what God intended, to live the joy and the peace and the hope that God had given. Can you think of all the different ways that Jesus is described? The living water, the bread of life, all of those images of Christ. But I want you to think about something, that those images are worthless without us and without our action. Because I tell you that you can talk all you want about the bread of life, but if we don't give bread to those who are hungry, they will not listen. You can talk all you want about living water, but if you don't share real water with those who are thirsty, they will not understand. You can talk all you want about Jesus saying, in my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm going to come and take you to myself that you may be where I am. But people will not have that hope if they have no place to sleep tonight. Did you ever get really thirsty for something? If you grew up around here and then moved far away, and you came back after 20 years, you probably made a trip to Pottsville. You know why? The Yuengling Brewery. Summer's coming, and we couldn't wait to come up old Route 248 to go to the ice cream stand to get that first chocolate milkshake of the season. One of the saddest days in recent history is when Hahn's Dairy closed and I couldn't get their chocolate milk anymore. Thirsty. A craving that is not only physical, but emotional and spiritual. And what Paul was talking about the thirst being taken away was when he described how our world changes when we allow that living water, Jesus, to come into our lives. And how it transforms our sense of need and our willingness to reach out. Nurse Jane describes some of the lessons we learned as children. Now the doctors are saying, don't touch your face, don't touch your eyes, you know, don't touch your mouth. Try not to touch your face. In the very moment that I was saying that, I saw four people in the congregation touching their face or their head. In fact, if someone tells you don't touch your face, you know the first thing you want to do? But use proper ways of dealing with things. Before they came to the table to eat, before they sat down at that Passover feast, everyone washed their hands. Because cleanliness is next to godliness. When we think about what it means to really seek out God, it means that we want to be clean spiritually. Now, we put a lot of emphasis on physical cleanliness, especially when a virus is going around. If only we would put as much emphasis about being spiritually clean and loving all through the year, our world would be a better place, and we would be more effective witnesses. I like, too, what Jesus taught when people questioned him about eating. He said, you know, what you take in by your mouth goes in through your stomach and out of your body by way of dross, by way of waste. But what comes out of your mouth comes from the heart. Living bread, living water, living spirit. These descriptions of Christ remind us about how vitally important it is for us to imitate him. To love God first, and to love our fellow human beings the way we love ourselves. On that cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He sensed the separation from God that was there because of the weight of our sin. He cried out, it is finished. And we may have thought that he was talking about dying, but he was really speaking to the fact that what was happening was finishing the work that God had for him to do to defeat sin. In those last moments, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Because it's there where we really find peace. But he did say, I thirst. And it wasn't just the 6 to 8 hours that he spent on the cross. It was that inner thirst that comes when our spirits are dried up because of the absence of the living water of God. Are you thirsty? Turn to the source of all blessing and all refreshment, of all life. Turn to that Christ who is the living water, and you will thirst no more. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we sometimes forget the great challenge it is to live your joy and peace, to share your comfort and love. We sometimes think of all the other things that call for our attention, and we forget the words of St. Paul, who commanded us to share what Christ did. We come to this place and we thank you, Father, for the motivation of so many who reach out to those who are hungry and thirsty and homeless and alone and afraid. And we thank you that we are here to surround one another with your love, your grace, your mercy, and your peace. We come with precautions, Father, because we don't want to get sick. But we come too to be in the presence of your Spirit with one another. And it is our awareness that we are here with our brothers and sisters that gives us strength. Whether we reach out and grasp a hand, or whether we lift our hand up and say how, or whether we bow or curtsy to one another. It is our recognition of our brothers and sisters and our love for them that makes a difference. And that happens because we have gathered in your name to recognize your great love in Christ. So be with our number who need you in mind or body or spirit, and grant to them from your love, mercy, and grace the good gifts that they need. And use us as instruments of your love in the daily world. For we pray all these things in the manner in which Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is number 648, Love Divine.
Please be seated. At this time, we welcome all visitors and members to Zion Church, and we ask that you sign the ritual friendship pad that's found at the end of each pew. As that friendship pad is passed, we ask that you please take note to any name that you may not recognize on there, and be sure to greet those visitors after today's service. When we stop to consider the amazing riches God has provided on this planet, how thankful we should be. Good soil and water gives us food in abundance. Gifts of the Spirit grant life with eternity in it. Let us express our wonder and gratitude through our offering of tithes and lives. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for all the ways we have benefited from the labor of others. We here offer our best for the sake of brothers and sisters who need the love and encouragement you are eager to share through us. Keep us from being ungrateful as we continue to receive so much more than we stop to realize. When life is difficult, help us to endure and to hope, because your love is sure and certain, ours to receive and to give. In Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
when we were thirsty, God sent us living water. If we are to thirst again, may it be for the desire to pour that living water out into the world in all that we do. May we go in his love. Amen.